Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. We had a little technical problem with the Blog Talk Radio, so we're not operating through our microphone today. And I really don't blame the devil. You know, with what we're about to serve up today, I wouldn't want to make it easy either. So I think we're going to have an amazing broadcast. I truly do. And we're going to have our very special friend joining us here in just a little bit today, which is Daniel Seckham calling in from Australia. But I want to get right into something very briefly. I want to share this with you that are tuned in this morning because I really believe this is from the heart of our Father. And I want to begin with the revelation of the wells of life. And I want you to know that the abundant life is not a life running on fumes. It is wide open throttle, exhausting itself of every energy, only to be continually recharged, refilled, refreshed, revived, and constantly overflowing. And we read that in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, when Jesus said, "The thief comes not but for to steal your energy, to kill your energy, and to destroy your energy. I have come that you might have energy and that you might have it more abundantly." And someone says, well, that's life. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. And that word life in the Greek is zoe, as you all know by now. And the zoe life is a kind of life. It is a brilliant kind of life. In fact, it is the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. It talks about the absolute fullness of life, both the essential and ethical, which belongs to God. And it talks about a just this intense, real, and genuine, vigorous, blessed life. And so Christ has really come to give energy. And I just hear in my spirit this morning that God doesn't want you or I running on fumes, because he's got something for us. And the recontinue, if you see, I think a lot of people try to play it safe. I think a lot of people are trying to, you know, preserve their energy. And yet, if it's our energy, then, you know, how long can you preserve it? But if your life has been taken up into the abundant life that Jesus Christ gave, it's his life, it's his energy. And in the book of Acts, it's very clear you all know that in the book of Acts chapter 2, there was the first and great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. Everybody knows that. But did you know, just a few chapters down the road, where it says in verse 23, for example, Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, here's the saints, okay? Behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, why do I read that? Because here is a scripture that tells us that the very saints that were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, who went out and began to turn the world upside down, well, they're now under persecution and attack, and they're praying, and the very room that they're praying in is shaken. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit again. Why is that important? Because you and I need to know that there is a constant supply of the Spirit of God for our lives. In Philippians 1:19, Paul said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There is an abundant supply of divine energy, of anointing, of unction, of power, of quickening, of strength for every saint of God in the body of Christ. And what does that really mean to us? Well, that means that we have access to something that the rest of the world does not have access to. And an unbelieving church will not have access. They won't enter into this kind of a life because they think this is wooey-wooey. But really think about it. What is it that's going to cause you to have greater strength in your latter days than you had in your earlier days? Caleb said, I'm 85 years old and I'm stronger now than when I was a youth. Well, what gave him that sustaining unction and power? His faith in the power of God. And yet we're under a better covenant with better promises, and God has a supply of the Spirit for your life and my life so that we can continue to do his work in the earth. And here's what I hear the Lord saying today. This is a prophetic word for you. I'm going to read this quickly. I'm going to turn it over to Daniel in just a moment. But I want you to hear this. I want you to get this in your spirit for where we are right now on this earth. I hear the Lord saying, I have wells to drink of that you have not yet received. These wells have not yet been opened. While knowledge is increasing and man's understanding is opening, there still remains a veil over the heart. Many today are seeing, as it were, through a glass. The picture is not yet crystal clear as to what I am doing in the earth today, says the Lord. There is still a great deal of speculation in the hearts of my people, for they have not yet settled into a place of absoluteness concerning their mission and function in my body. If I were to release the floodgates at this time, much of what I would pour out would be lost through the cracks. My body has not yet been compacted together and joined together in a way that would contain the fresh and precious water that I'm prepared to send. There is still too much self-serving, selfish ambition in the body of my love. My body has yet to understand the vast importance of the corporate function. There are still independent members who have not yet yielded to the corporate man-child company that I am raising up in the earth today. Given much knowledge and outpourings of revelation to my body recently, but much has not profited the body due to a lack of spiritual unity. The quarrels, the fights, the wars, the jealousies, the opinions, and other antagonisms have restricted the flow of anointing. For all these things are childish and to no avail. I have seen a people scattered in the earth that I have chosen for such a time as this. These I am gathering together. These are new connections. These are the parts that have been missing. These are the intended ones that have been chosen before the foundation of the world to come forth in this hour and give glory to my name. These are the ones I have chosen to fulfill my purpose, not in an individual way, but in a corporate way. For I will not release the flow of the untapped well until this body has been formed and brought together unto unseparateness. The glory they give to me is through their love for one another. This is a spiritual union where each member is accepted and loved and honored and preferred before the other. The question has been asked, can there ever be a perfect body of believers who are one in judgment, thought, and purpose in the earth? The answer is found so clearly in the Word. I am coming for a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I am coming to be glorified and admired in my saints. I will tell you a truth that has been revealed in this body of whom I have spoken. These understand that they are a perfect body of believers living in the earth who walk in perfect love. They have the wisdom and understanding of what true love is, so that false religious ideas and concepts have no place among them. These have been perfected in genuine care and tenderness towards those with whom they have been joined to. The ultra dynamic of this body is that they walk in divine power and authority. They have been so knit together by my spirit that there is no lack, gap, or chasm in them. Who are they? They are those who have been taken into the fires. They have gone through the waters. They have been tested to the core. These are the stones which were burnt but have come forth as brilliant spiritual stones of radiating glory. They have come to a place of maturity. They have taken within them a divine nature in the exactness of my image. They have believed me for everything I have spoken through my word. They have embraced the truth of freedom and victory and would not be turned away. They are the overcomers of the new millennial morning and are being brought to high places and are being advanced with rapid transport. All the doors promised to them have begun to open and their lives have been transformed into abundant, joyful, radiant lives, giving glory to me each and every day. These have been given a supernatural power in such a measure that those who touch them have touched the apple of my eye. Yes, this is the tabernacle of David, restored and perfected with my spirit from above. This tabernacle is strong and valiant and has learned to put the enemy to flight. These are as bold as lions and gentle as doves. These are his God in the earth. Why? Because I dwell in them. My son and I have come to them and have tabernacled in them. The full force of my power and ability is in them so that I do great exploits through them. These operate out of the same anointing as Jesus did while he was in the earth. They are his eyes, ears, mouth, and feet. How will you know them? You will be among them and they will speak of glorious things. As they speak, you will be elevated to a higher place in your spirit, not because of high-sounding words, but because of the words of truth and power mixed with their faith. You will be healed in their presence. You will not pick up one hint of schism among them. There will be no false religious facade of love, but a genuine, liberating spirit among them. You will see different measures of glory in each one, but not one shall be seen as above the other, just as different expressions of my many faceted nature within them. So I really believe what God is saying to the church this morning, and he's saying all over the world, he's been telling us about the great outpouring of his spirit that he wants to bring to his body. But God is saying that he's going to withhold those waters until the body comes together. But he's not waiting long because there's the people that are getting the job done. And we are ready. We are unified. We are waiting to be empowered so that we could be effective as we live in this world at this time to do the exploits that Daniel said, they who know their God will do exploits. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to do exploits in the name of my God, to be empowered by his spirit to do anything he says to do, whether it's raise the dead, cast out a devil, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. I believe for this supernatural power of God, these living waters, these rivers of living waters, this flow of the Holy Spirit, while at the same time having the boldness to contend with any force on this earth through the power and anointing of Jesus Christ to have the victory and to always triumph and to continue to pour myself out only to find that God keeps supplying what is necessary. We're talking about an abundant life, ladies and gentlemen, a life filled with the quantity of every good resource that God has and the quality of a life that is committed to the purposes of God. I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. But before I go any further, let me bring Brother Daniel on the air all the way from Australia. Good morning, Brother Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Good morning to you, Pastor Vincent. I'm feeling fantastic for being 2:15 in the morning. and I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, and God bless you for joining us and staying up until 15 minutes after 2 in the morning, to do the work of God. I know that's got to be pleasing to the Lord, and your sacrifice will be met with glorious blessings. I am positive that will happen for you. So tell us, Daniel, do we have a world that is continuing to shake? We had an 8.2 earthquake over in Alaska, I believe it was yesterday. And there were some tidal wave concerns, and I had something very interesting happen to me. But with all this physical shaking, there are spiritual shakings. What is it the Lord has put in your heart for this hour to share with the body?
Well, in addition to the earthquake that happened just off the coast of Alaska, there was breaking news a few hours ago. There was an earthquake measuring over 6 on the Richter scale in northern Japan. So there's that, and then there's volcanoes going off all over the world along the Pacific Rim. And also, too, here in Australia, we've had some earthquakes up on the north coast of New South Wales near a place called Nambucca Heads. So there have been earthquakes even here in Australia, which is interesting. But again, you know, as Jesus warned, he said there will be earthquakes in diverse places. And it's happening right before our eyes at the moment. And all these are warning signs that the Lord is continuing to give us. And just as he said would happen, it's all happening. So we need to encourage each other with what's going on, and we can expect that these earthquakes and these volcanoes and all these natural disasters, so to speak, will continue on a regular basis.
Daniel, I had many years ago, and I've shared this several times throughout my radio ministry on the air and behind the pulpit, I had a dream that I was walking on the sea, sand of the seashore, and I was walking towards the ocean, and to my left was a number of people on benches. They were all drinking and partying, and I was going to go over and minister to them. The Holy Spirit said no, so I kept walking out to the beach, and I stood upon the shore, and I looked out at the ocean. And as I was standing there, I looked out, which seemed to be hundreds of miles away. I saw a perfect wall of water. It was so perfect. It was massive, even hundreds of miles away. And I had no emotional reaction. I simply, in my dream, said, huh. I turned around. I was going to go minister to the people on the bench, and the Holy Spirit said, no, leave them alone. And so I did, and a friend of mine in the dream walked up to me and said, I need to know what you just saw. And I looked up, and I saw a green sign that you would see on a freeway that said H-I in capital letters, and then far to the right it had a D, and the dream ended. A few days later, I figured it out by the Holy Spirit that the H-I stood for Hawaii and the D was for the Democratic state. And so I have waited for many years, and I saw this wall of water stretching from San Diego, California, all the way up into Vancouver. Now, yesterday, here's what makes this very interesting. 2 days ago, my grandson just turned 23 years old, okay? And we were celebrating his birthday. We delivered a bed down to him. And one of the things he loves to do at his young age is play pool. And so we were shooting a little pool. I'm not a great pool player, but we were having a good time. And while we were playing pool, Daniel, I said 3 times, I said, Quanda Fuka, Quanda Fuka, Quanda Fuka, just messing around. I was just, I don't know why I said it. And last night, in the middle of the night, around 3 o'clock in the morning or so, I woke up and I'm hearing in my spirit, Quanda Fuka, Quanda Fuka. Well, I woke Patricia up and I told her, and she said, well, let's find out what Quanda Fuka is. Now, I had heard Quanda Fuka. I know what it means. So we did it anyways. We went up, we looked up the word Quanda Fuka, and sure enough, this is a earthquake plate that would shake, if you look at the map, all the way to Vancouver, Canada, all the way down to California. This is the Kwanda Fuka. And then I was asking the Lord, well, why am I thinking about this? And the Lord reminded me on September 3rd, 2001, 8 days before 9/11, I've told this story, how Paul Schumann, Michael Villarin, and I were in Denver with our friend John Phillips, who worked on the multi-million dollar flight simulators. And we all got a chance to fly these multi-million dollar flight simulators. And it was my turn around 3 o'clock in the morning again to fly. And because I'm from New Jersey, I flew out of Newark. I flew over the Hudson River, around Central Park. I started heading south. I saw the Twin Towers, and I was just tired and bored. And I took my plane and I flew it into the Twin Towers. And that was on September 3rd, 2001. Well, on September 11th, 2001, somebody flew their planes into the Twin Towers. And I started crying out to the Lord. Why did that happen? Yeah, and I thought I told you this before. And but I was weeping before the Lord. I said, why did this happen? What's going on? And the Lord said to me, I'm talking all the time. Very few are listening. I want you to begin to pay attention to every little thing you say out of your mouth, every little joke, every little kidding thing. I want you to pay attention. So when I said this the other night while playing pool, Kwanda Fuka, Kwanda Fuka, Kwanda Fuka, they were laughing, going, what's Kwanda Fuka? And I didn't even explain it to them. And then last night, waking up, Kwanda Fuka, and asking the Lord, he's saying, I'm speaking to you. And when that Kwanda Fuka plate goes, according to every single article, science is warning us that the Kwanda Fuka, which they call the Wanda Fuka as well, and the Gorda plates offshore of the Pacific Northwest, and what would happen is that this would cause a massive, massive earth tsunami alert. So I think we're into something right now, Daniel.
Yeah, I think we are. And you know what also is interesting is that express.co.uk reports, they said that the Alaska earthquake is a wake-up call warning for big one to hit the U.S. West Coast in March. Interesting.
Really?
It says the magnitude, it says the magnitude 8 earthquake which struck off the coast of Alaska today is just the start of a huge seismic shift that will hit the west coast of the United States in coming weeks, a self-styled prophet has warned. He says Frank Huger Beats, based in the Netherlands, claims to be able to predict when earthquakes will happen based on the alignments of our planets of our solar system. Alaska has been hit by a 7.9 magnitude earthquake, sparking a tsunami warning across the entire west coast in Canada as mass tremors along the Ring of Fire increased dramatically in the last 24 hours. That's what we were just talking about. And Mr. Huger Beats claims that it was a precursor for a big one along the west coast of the United States that he has been warning of. He told express.co.uk the large earthquake in the Gulf of Alaska was anticipated but occurred a bit sooner than expected. He says, in my previous update, I elaborated on the unique situation in the North Pacific and also mentioned Alaska. The magnitude 8 earthquake in Alaska is a wake-up call that more larger seismic activity is coming, especially in the first week of March.
Wow.
It says... it is amazing because that's the week that I'm going to be in the United States.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, yeah, that's on the West Coast. You stay away from the West Coast. That's why we moved out of there, by the way. And I have to believe if that's real, then the Holy Spirit's going to warn people that love him to get out of there if that's really coming. And this article, this is from the Daily Mail. It says Seattle, Portland, Vancouver are at risk of being hit by a mega quake. Scientists have warned. They're saying that this is 72 years overdue, and the big one will hit when Kwanda Fuka, a 700-mile chunk of the Pacific Ocean, slides under Canada and America. So you got to understand this is a fault line. It's a plate that's sliding under our continental shelf, if you will. And they're saying that this is ready to happen everywhere. So I think between what science is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, we may be getting ready for the great massive shaking that people have talked about and waited for a very long time. I think it'll shake the landscape of our nation.
Well, you mentioned it was supposed to happen 72 years ago. So I think that's interesting because it also gives you a bit of an insight into the patience of God. God is a patient God. He is a long-suffering God, and he is constantly, longing for our repentance. And he doesn't want us to perish. He wants us all to come to salvation. But even God's patience has a limit. And I think God has been waiting long enough. And as Billy Graham rightly says, he says, if God were to forgive America for her sins, or if God were to overlook over America's sins, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And well, I agree with him. I agree with him because as someone who does not live in the United States but lives in another Western country, I can see the export industry of sin that is pumped out of the United States to all other nations all over the earth. And I think God has been long-suffering long enough. I think the time will come soon where America will be humbled. And I don't like saying that because I love America dearly. But I believe that it is inevitable. And that's the sobering reality of that.
Yeah, and it was Ruth Graham that actually said that. And also, Daniel, just the other day on this radio broadcast, I believe it was Monday, I want to say it was Monday, we were talking about how with everything going on in this horizontal world, there were, people with wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, famines, all the different things that are going on in the world today, that God was about to do something that was going to take the nations beyond their ability to control it. And when we start thinking about God melting the mountains, putting his finger on the earth and shaking it violently, that is something that interrupts everybody's plans. And I believe that the rude awakening is about to happen with all this, propaganda that's going on in the news. And I really believe God is separating things to such a degree that he wants his people to be super empowered and anointed in this hour. I think he's got something very special for the true church of Jesus Christ. And then I think everything else is about to be shaken so dramatically that no one will be able to just stand as they've always. But this is the hour where he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I really believe that's the key moment we're in right now, the shaking.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a season of purging, And I think that'll be a necessary thing and a healthy thing. And I think that, sometimes it really does take for some tragic things to happen for people to wake up. And unfortunately, that's the only thing that will wake people up. And we don't want to overlook these things. But at the end of the day, if it means that something like this has to happen in order for the nation to come back to God, then so be it. I mean, and that's a kind of a similar prayer that I've prayed over my life. I've always prayed that that I would never have it too good where I will be forgetting the Lord. I've always prayed that the Lord will keep me close to him. And I've found that at key points in my life, I've had things happen that have really shaken me and brought me back to reality and back into fellowship with him. And I thank God for those moments. I really do. You know, Charles Spurgeon had this saying, and he said, "I have learned to kiss the waves that slam me into the rock of ages." He said, "I have learned to kiss the waves that have slammed me into the rock of ages." So thank God for those times in our lives that give us that wake-up call. And as it happens, as it is for the individual, so it is for the nation.
Wow, what a power. Spurgeon, those guys were pretty awesome, Daniel. There's no doubt about it. No doubt you're also watching what's going on in the United States with all of the, governmental shutdowns, reopenings, the politics as usual. I really believe that these things are going to have to take a back seat to the phenomenal things that God is about to release. And God's people need to understand when these asteroids or comets begin to strike the earth, when the earth begins to shake, when the volcanoes begin to erupt, the hurricanes that we've already seen, when these things really, begin to happen, we're supposed to look up and know that our redemption is near to come, because these are the signs of the times all over the world that we have to be prepared for. And yet politically, there's a great big meeting right now over in, Davos in Switzerland for the economy summit. President Trump's going to be there. And we're getting prophetic words everywhere right now that the economy is about to collapse. And that's such a contrary word to what we're actually seeing. How do you deal with something like that?
Well, that's an interesting statement, because the Dow Jones is above 25,000 and it's never been that high before. But then again, that said, that's a dizzying height to fall from if things do go pear-shaped. So I wouldn't put it past, things like that could absolutely happen. I mean, international incidents have been known to bring about financial chaos. So it's definitely not beyond the scope of reality. So that could definitely happen.
Well, absolutely. I think we need to focus and stay a little bit focused on this Quandafuca fault line, because there was a time in my life where I would get something like this and I would begin to shout from the top of my lungs everywhere I could and tell people and warn them. I don't feel any sense of urgency for the people on the West Coast, and I don't know why. I mean, I don't have any personal, run out there and say the sky is falling and do that. But California has just gone through a major, fire season, mudslide season. They're going through all kinds of crazy stuff. And we were saying when that was happening,
Draft.
These are the warning signs. These are the warning signs of this quake that is coming. And this Quandafuca, or the Quandafuca plate, this is a very powerful, powerful shifting, this platonic shifts that are going on. And so how do you, speak into people that are living on the West Coast of the United States after so many years of warnings? Now, remember, that solar eclipse, Daniel, began in Oregon the very week the governor of Oregon legalized full-term abortion. I mean, I think that was a blatant in-your-face issue, and I don't think that's going to go unpunished. What about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. The blood of the innocent is crying out. So completely agree. All these signs that have been happening, I mean, we've had blood moons, we've had eclipses, we've had all these signs in the heavens, and these are all the signs that God said would happen in the lead up to, the last days. And these are all warning signs. And, it's interesting, because I shared your story with a Bible study on Monday night, how you told me how the Lord made it clear for you to leave San Diego and move to Arkansas. And it wasn't just you. There were a bunch of other people who I bumped into who had very similar stories, where the Lord made it clear to them that they needed to get off the West Coast and to move to Arkansas. Now, I was rubbing shoulders and meeting people who were the ones who obeyed. Just how many more, Vincent, are people living on the West Coast who God said the exact same thing to, but disobeyed?
That's what I think. You're right on. You're right on. There has been plenty of time to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
So So, Daniel, with that being said, let me just read briefly a prophetic word that was given concerning the earthquake. And this prophecy begins with, "Did I not say that Euroclodon is coming? Have I not warned the people?" This is getting in line with what you just said. "Have I not warned the people? Do you yet take lightly the warnings of my prophets of truth?" These things with the hurricanes, the fires, are the beginning of sorrows for America. She is but the forerunner of major natural disasters that will strike the United States of America. Why? "My protection has departed. I have lifted my hand from around your country, and you will reap what you have sown. I have warned for many years, even for an entire generation. Since 1963, I have blown the trumpet through my prophets concerning America's demise. I have seen the storm come, and I have called out to the leaders of America, and today they shake the fist at me. Arrogance, I witness against you this day, O great nation, that your sorrows have just begun. The ground beneath your feet will shake violently, for you have opened the seals of destruction. America has crossed the line, and there will be no returning for her. I have spoken it, I have said it, and still the people will not take heed. I have said that you cannot curse what I have blessed, and in the same way I tell you that you cannot bless what I have cursed. Did I not say that if you would obey me and keep my commandments, that I would bless you? Indeed, yet you have forsaken the way of truth and have gone to worship other gods. You have removed my words from before you and have cast them over your shoulders out of your view. You said in your heart, I will not have this Jesus to rule over me. And now I tell you that I will mock you when your calamity comes. I will laugh you to scorn. And when you cry out to me, I will not listen. You have adopted the ways of the heathen, and you will now pay the price for doing so. I have unsheathed my sword, and it will sweep through the land with the force and power of devastation. Oh, you say, here is the gloom and doom again. Yet I say unto you that you have not taken heed to my words. I have a contention with the nations. I am coming to undo all that is afflicted and kept in bondage my people. Have you not known that I have a love, an everlasting love, for those who are mine? I am coming out to contend with the world, its systems, its governments, its economy, its entertainment, its sport, its facade. How the nations have mocked me and have held my word in derision. How the unrepentant and unregenerate have withstood my words and have hated me. Your judges are nothing. Your princes are fools. Your whole nation has become a habitation of ancient devils. The cage is open, and the depths of hell have released its hideous darkness. Out of the darkness shall come forth pestilence. Sickness and disease shall sweep the land. Infectious diseases will spread in a way that I will not relent until I have accomplished. Infectious diseases will spread in a moment and will be stronger than what you have known before. You laugh at me as though I was a man, and yet you do not know that I am God and there is no other. I am, and I will have my way, and I will not relent until I have accomplished my will. I have reserved the earth that now is for fire. Oh, how you hate to hear these words, because they provoke fear in you and hatred and anger. Yet I have said it in my word that the nations are angry. They hate me for the pain they experience. I have kept the multitudes that go to your churches under a covering, but this covering too is being lifted, for I have spoken to a people who cannot hear. They have eyes but do not see. Hypocrites, you discern the sky but will not discern the signs." Now, there's a lot more to this, but Daniel, these words that are being spoken are not only to the nations, but particularly to the United States, the church in America, to a people that are buried beneath the lukewarm, compromising state of things, that are not urgent about the things of God. And I believe we're in the moment where everything is going to be caught off guard. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, California has experienced pretty much just about every natural disaster that, or natural misfortune that you could imagine. I mean, they've had droughts, bushfires, you know, mudslides, you name it. God has tried to warn over and over and over and over. But, you know, it's not just how would I say, a drought in the natural, there's also a drought in the spiritual. I mean, there's a famine of the word of God throughout the land. You know, there is absolute junk food being delivered from the pulpits in America. Mm. And it's no wonder that we have a crisis of biblical illiteracy where the people of God have been completely deceived. And it's no wonder, Vincent, that gay marriage comes along and they are so dumbed down. And look, I don't mean to say that derogatorily, but the people have been so shallow in their walk with God and so illiterate in their understanding of the scriptures that gay marriage comes along and they accept it. What a travesty! But this is the reality of what we find, and because there is so much corruption going on in the church, we should not be surprised to see it going on in the world. Why? Because the in fact, I'll just want to read to you this quote. Because when the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. When the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. Now,
that's
how
profound.
Does the church lose its voice? How does the church lose its voice? Well, it loses its voice through compromise. You know, there is secret sin that is festering beneath the surface of the church. Secret sin is eating away. It's white-anting the church. And this is one of the major, major, major reasons, Pastor Vincent, that there is so much compromise in a church as a result of lost its voice, and in losing its voice, the world has lost, the United States of America has lost its conscience. And we're seeing that happening at the lower level, and we're also seeing that happening at the highest level. And the revelations just over the last couple of days have revealed that there is massive, massive corruption even within the highest positions within law enforcement, even within the FBI. There is corruption everywhere. Everywhere. We know that the Democratic Party is absolutely rotten to the core. But also, don't think that the Republicans will get off scot-free either. There is corruption everywhere, and America desperately, desperately needs a revival of repentance and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Daniel, I can hear your heart on this one, and I just want to confirm what you have just been saying. I want to just take one more minute, finish up this prophetic word, because it's what you're saying, and I'm finding it absolutely amazing. God is doing an amazing thing by bringing words that were written years ago up to now, and they're being fulfilled. The latter part of this prophetic word says a lukewarm church exists in America. She is the harlot who has sold herself for a piece of bread. Her people are the congregation of the dead and not the living. The people come to your churches. They love to hear your song. They listen to you preach, but they will not do what they are told. These are liars and pretenders who will be spewed out of my mouth. There is my remnant, my shining stars who will shine forth throughout all eternity, for they have not received the mark of the beast. These are the righteous ones who have wisdom and knowledge. Oh, my shining stars, my sons and daughters who have loved me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what great things I have prepared for you, even things that eye has not seen nor ear has heard, but you know of them deep in your hearts. You know that the best is yet to come. You know that you will march through the earth as an indestructible priesthood, having power to throw down the powers of darkness. Yes, you shall come face to face with wicked spirits, and you will overcome them and see the weakness of these defeated foes. Great giants will come up out of the underworld and will contend with you, but to no avail. They shall fall and be led away into everlasting destruction. You shall execute the judgment that I have pronounced. You shall cut asunder the bars of bondage and break loose the waters of life. You shall undo all that afflicts those who have been appointed to life, and you shall shine forth the glorious countenance of my presence. I will spare you. I will be with you. Fear not. The day of vengeance has come. The day of wrath has come. Listen, the day of slaughter has come. Yet I will lead you, my beloved, by the streams of life. Honor me and trust me in this hour, and you will know my peace that passes all understanding. Again, I have warned that Eurocladon comes. It is near, a storm that will pulverize your borders, America. You have sown the wind. Now you will reap the whirlwind. Your earth will quake on the west. California, earthquake. Your time of visitation has come. Be ready. Church in America, be ready. Intercessors, be ready. These things that are coming to pass are a result of the transition that is taking place universally. All nations are passing under the rod of my judgment. The dawning of a new day is near. The end of the old is being accomplished. And what I find interesting about this particular word is that this goes all the way back, Brother Daniel. We're talking here, let's get the exact date when that was written in the details. This word was written in, it was written on,
not in
the 60 content.
Something.
No, this was actually, yeah, right. No, it was written in 2000 and I think it says 2003. September 22nd, 2003
okay.
is when I wrote that word. So we're talking 15 years
wow.
ago. And now it's like all these other, all these prophecies are that were written back then are coming up, and they're like alive right now.
Yeah. Wow. Extraordinary.
I'd say it's the time to be ready.
And yet, is anyone going to be listening?
I don't know, but when it comes, those that did listen will know that God was speaking to them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mamma mia. So what we're going to do right now, we've got opportunity for the lines to be open, and we have a lot of people tuning in. If you're out there and you would like to share any thoughts or comments about what you're hearing today, and you're already listening by telephone, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you into the broadcast. Maybe you have a question for Daniel Seckham, or maybe something you'd like to add to what you're hearing, or maybe comment. So the number, again, 818-369-0326, and then press 1 on your dial pad. If you've been listening this morning, press 1. We've got a call coming in from area code 813. Let's take that call. Say good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Pastor Vincent, this is Ted. How are you doing today?
Who is this?
This is Pastor Ted Marshall.
Well, hey, Pastor Ted, I thought that number was recognizable. I didn't hear your voice. I'm on a different mechanism. Great to hear from you. How are you?
We're doing great. I'm really enjoying the conversation today, and it's so well needed that you and your guest are bringing up some important points that all of us need to take heed to, that the church has got to circle the wagons, as they used to say out in the West, because the attack is coming, and it has been coming, and we really need to rely on the Lord, and He is going to give us the strength to fight these battles that we have coming toward us. I see a lot of, using the word marshaling of troops, so we see a lot of marshaling of the saints that really need to be able to stand up. Good men of God are coming under vicious attack, and in their lives, in their family lives, and they have to hold tight. They're going to have to hold tight to the Lord, because these attacks are coming. They're coming spiritually. They're coming physically. And you and I both know that our brother Don Huddle, that we need to keep him in his prayers and his family. It seems like they go after the strongest ones first and try to shake the foundation. But I know Don, and we both know how strong of a man and a warrior of God he is. But there are other warriors out there, pastors, there's other, that are coming under tremendous, tremendous pressure from the adversary. And we just need to pray for them. And the Lord's going to give them strength. We just pray that their worldly the worldly thoughts and so forth just be pushed aside, that they can just listen for that voice of God and get their strength and renewed and regenerated.
Well, amen. We will certainly pray for that. And I'm not sure what's going on with Don, but we will keep him in prayer and reach out. And I think it's interesting that you called in today, because you just went a few months ago through one of those hurricanes in Florida. You witnessed American citizens fleeing from their homes, you know, hundreds of thousands of people losing their homes, their property. They were upheavaled. And now on the west coast of the United States, there seems to be ample evidence that God is going to allow this earthquake to happen. And we're going to see people on the west coast from Vancouver, Canada, all the way down to San Diego, disrupted. I mean, our nation is about to be, again, upheavaled. And, what you know, you went through that whole thing, Pastor Ted, and thank God you were spared. Your home was spared. But a lot of people around and about you were not spared. Give a quick description of the atmosphere at that time when that those six hurricanes that hit the United States a few months ago, what was it like? I mean, what can people expect with a massive earthquake like this?
The first thing that I've got to thank God for, because we were right on the brunt of it, and the eye of the hurricane actually passed right over where we were. So we had both the front wall and the back wall of the hurricane that hit us. And so was my dad living down in near Naples in Immokalee, and down in that area. It came right straight up to Lehigh Acres, right down right where he was living. They went through it. The those of us that are kind of prepared a little bit, you know, there's no preparation that you can really make ahead of time for when you have the thought that we can lose everything. When we understand that what's going to happen could be catastrophic, it's that day when it comes. I found strength in one thing alone, and that was my wife and I praying as we left our home here, because we live in a manufactured home and we had to leave because it was a mandatory evacuation, and we went on and stayed at my brother-in-law's home, which was a brick home, but knowing that when we pulled out of the driveway there and looked back, that are we going to see this home again? It is a devastating and a gut-wrenching feeling, and can be really depressing. But all that was taken away from us because we trusted the Lord, that His hands were in this, that whatever we need, whatever He wanted to, and had planned for our future was already planned. And His plan for us that we understand in our heart is for the better, is for good, as He has things for us to do. And when we came home, Vincent, and we were driving through our neighborhood, and we saw some of the damage that was done. And as we got closer and closer to our block and our street, and we saw damages on the left and some damages on the right, and when we came in and saw our home, it was intact. There was just some superficial damage done to the roof and to the outside. And when we walked inside, Vincent, the power was on. My God, everything was fine on the inside. Nothing was wet. And we both right there just stopped and prayed. Folks, the power of prayer can overcome that panic, can overcome that time of stress and the time of what's going to happen. But you have to trust in the Lord that He has a plan. You mentioned the earthquake. Recently, the fires in California, Vincent, are something that is kind of remarkable to me, or the mudslides and the disaster that's happening there, and coinciding with some of the decisions that were made by the governor and the state of California at that time, were kind of eye-opening. Somebody didn't like those decisions, and I think the Lord is trying to teach people up and say, hey, you are going down the wrong path. What other signs do you need? That's the proverbial joke about the man on the roof of the his home during a flood. Somebody comes by in a rowboat and says, no, he's going to be all right. And eventually a helicopter comes, and he says, well, he was just waiting. We can't wait any longer.
Amen.
It's a tragedy and especially when it's something that you have no control over. It's
hey,
something
Pastor
that
Kennedy.
You would face it is through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. These are great words of exhortation, and I thank you for sharing the story. As we're coming to the, we've got just a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask Daniel real quick. Now, Daniel read an article that science and some prophetic voices are talking about the month of March. Daniel, you're going to actually be back in the United States in Tennessee, and hopefully you'll be coming back into Arkansas to minister as well. But you're going to be in Tennessee for a Understanding the Times conference. And, you know, I would imagine that
yes.
the ministers and the speakers that God has raised up for that that conference are going to be very much apprehended by God to speak some amazing things. Tell us a little bit more about the conference, how people can find it, and when it's going to be.
Thanks for asking. So it's going to be at the Understanding the Times conference held in Nashville on the 9th to the 10th of October. Now, you can get all the information you need
you mean
at
March,
the
right?
website. So that's in March.
You mean
yep,
March.
Coming up in March.
Okay.
So March the 9th and the 10th. So only a two-day conference. So it's over the weekend, so it should be manageable for you to get there if you work during the weekdays. Now, the one of the good things is that if you're a pastor, then it's free. There's no cost involved if you are a pastor. So we would absolutely love to have you. Now, we had a previous conference in Tyler, Texas last year, and it was a resounding success. And Pastor Vincent, you were in attendance at that conference, and you enjoyed it, didn't you?
It was awesome. The level of speakers, the integrity that was there. It was a beautiful, beautiful, and there was over 1,000 people at that conference, and yet it was done with simplicity and sincerity, and it was awesome. And I would encourage everybody, because they definitely have a little different approach to end-time prophecy, and yet a lot of people are talking about end-time prophecy, and I absolutely love it and would encourage everyone, if they can, particularly Pastor Ted out there. Pastor Ted, you could go for free, and we'll have to get Pastor Don to get out there as well. And I've got some pastors right here with me I want to take as well. So, yes, I encourage everyone to go.
Fantastic. Some of the speakers that we have there include Tom Doyle, include Joel Richardson, the New York Times bestselling author of Islamic Antichrist. He will be there. Eitan Bar, the head of One for Israel. Now, this guy alone is desperately recommended to see. I mean, he is easily the Israel's leading evangelist in reaching the Jewish people in Israel to Yeshua. Now, we have Mark Dance, Jake McCandless, and myself will be speaking with Marty Getz, who, and I think it's his daughter that he does music with. Is that right, Vince?
Yes, absolutely. You're talking about Marty Getz?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Marty, if he's going to be there, he and his daughter and his wife, when they do their worship, it melts your heart. I mean, it is transforming.
Fantastic. So, yes, please look up the website. Now, the website is UTT, that's UTTNashville.com. So that's UTTNashville.com. All the information that you need there is there, including the hotels that are within the area, the location, everything that you need to go. So it's just a very short two-day conference. I will be taking the first session. So as they say, no pressure. So it's going to be a fantastic event, and I recommend if you can get there, get there.
Hey, you're going to knock the ball out of the park. You're going to be a spearhead. You're going to open things up, and you know, everything is going to come and follow behind with that anointing God's going to give to you. You just let it rip. Daniel Seckham, once again, thank you. We'll be talking with you again next Wednesday. Get some rest. Pastor Ted, thanks for calling in. And to all of our listeners who were listening today, I hope you'll take heed to what you heard. Let's continue to pray, search it out, And wherever you live outside of the west coast of the United States, get ready for some refugees marching through your land. I hate to say it like that, but I believe that God has warned, and I believe the time has come. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Patricia Joy Xavier. She is the author of the book Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. Patricia Joy, welcome to your broadcast for the next 30 minutes. How's everything going for you today?
Well, after hearing this incredible program one more time, my hair stands on end. But there is hope. You know, just this morning, I open up to the Lord's future reign. And it says this, it says, in the last days, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem will become the most important place on the earth. And people from all over the world will go there to worship. And many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Israel. There he will teach us his ways so that we may obey him finally. For in those days, the Lord's teaching and his word will go out from Jerusalem. Now listen to this part. This is incredible. It just so excited me. The Lord will settle international disputes. And God knows we have multitudes right now. And all the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop. Hallelujah. And military training will come to an end. Oh, my goodness. Come, people. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is exciting. And so we heard, we understand the devastation coming upon the earth. And this is why it is so important to know the word of God so we can continue in hope. We need to continue in hope and in faith. And this is what the abundant life will be for us if we do so. And, you know, I just want to come and tell you that when my husband brings this information out from the prophecies that he was given 8, 9, 6 years ago, it's amazing what God has done to prepare him for a time such as this. And I have witnessed the writings that he used to do, but he never really shared them. And I didn't understand that, but I do now because the Lord says, put them away. There'll be a time of revelation. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful? Well, I am Patricia Xavier, and I'm co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. And I sure hope you bought one so we could go through this together. On Amazon is where you'll find it. Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. And we are in chapter 3. And I am starting on page 44. And we're going through this slowly because it's imperative that we find our position. If you were to believe the things that have been going on, you have to understand that there are strongholds that will be built up through fear in your life. Well, the purpose and the reason I wrote the book is to reveal to you that which has been erroneously believed to be right and true, but has not in the Word. And I know this sounds, you know, who do you think you are to say such a thing? But the Lord has revealed these things, and it is my desire to bring it to you because they end up being demonic bondage if we don't understand the Word of God as He has desired for us to know it. And it also is a problem if we have not received the Holy Spirit, because you heard Pastor Vincent speak on that very thing. We must have the Holy Spirit in this day. And who is the Holy Spirit? Where does he arrive from? He arrives from Jesus Christ, who sent the Holy Spirit from the heart of the Father. And that Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, forgive me, he is a personality. And the wonderment about it is he brings the Father's heart to us. not mere esoteric, universal Christ-mindedness, but the heart of the Father, which is God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh, all of it wrapped up into one. Then the simple step toward ridding oneself of different afflictions is what I wrote about, so that we could be ready in a time such as this. For instance, alcoholism, that is becoming a real problem. There's a demonic presence behind that. It's a spirit. You remember when it was said, going by the liquor stores, there was that word spirits written upon it? Why spirit? Because alcoholism, addictions, is an actual spirit. It's an addiction. And any other demonic presence within the person with his agreement, and we need to see and understand how this works and set the captives free. And so that he would not be able to continue in alcoholism, any other addiction. And people, I'm telling you, these addictions are getting stronger all the time, including every kind of sorcery imaginable. And if you look up the word sorcery, it says pharmaceutical in the Greek. And he says we'll be deceived. The world will be deceived. People will be deceived by their sorcery. And we're seeing this in such an incredible amount of destructive work upon youth and upon elderly. It's amazing what is happening, but it's been prophesied. But we would be free of this. And any claim that would be a lie that we took in to become involved with such things and be in bondage. And so what God wants is the captives to be free, totally free. Drugs that young people are taking now are mostly pharmaceutical, those still street drugs, you know, heroin and all of that. But mostly now they're becoming pharmaceutical, and they are worse, I heard, than heroin, more powerful to destroy. And our youth or young adults are dying everywhere. And I once heard somebody of a great intellect say that they had pain in their back, and they went to the doctor, and the doctor gave them pharmaceutical drugs. They took it, and the drug was so incredibly delightful that this person, who was never in bondage to anything, became captive of the enemy and was told, I heard speaking, she said it was she, that if I could be addicted, anybody could be addicted. So let us be wise. And so the stronghold is this exam, person's mind, by what was believed to be true. Oh, this was going to hurt my back, and I was going to be in such pain continually. I better get those pharmaceutical drugs. They believed it was true. She believed it was true, but was in fact false. It ended up bringing her into terrible addictions. So this is what the Word of God calls, if you look into it, when we decide to make certain moves and become addicted to something, we're in false imagination, because it isn't true. It isn't true. We may think that we're going to have euphoria. We may think it's going to be the most wonderful experience in the world, but it's going to end up destroying us one way or the other, spiritually, mentally, and in our physical bodies. Now, how deceptive is that? The only way a stronghold will come down is through the knowledge of the Word of God, not through pharmaceutical concepts and ideas that are given to the doctors or psychologists, who believe that if they just speak to the person and explain their mind trips, they'll be okay. No, this is spiritual. This is spiritual, and this is what most people do not understand, and that's why they're getting so caught up. And it isn't just now. It always has been. But now it's becoming extremely severe and damaging and destructive and unto death. So we have to be wise in these things. And we need to learn how to command in the name of Jesus. And we need to learn how to pull down these strongholds, how to be released from bondage so we could be filled with faith and truth in this life and hope because of what we see. Or else we're going to be so incredibly fearful, it's going to attack our hearts, as has already been told in Scripture, that many hearts will fail. So we have to look at all of these things. Many Christians are taking pharmaceutical drugs and don't realize that if they're not very careful, they can fall into addiction and bondage. And let me tell you, because this is doing you good, it's keeping you calm. The body of Christ, it is the peace of God that keeps us calm. It's the hope in Him that keeps us right. It's faith in Him that brings us into clear thinking. It isn't pharmaceutical drugs. Please be careful. I'm speaking to Christians. Please be careful when you go forth to receive any kind of medication that's going to calm you. If you're under stress of any kind whatsoever, bring your faith and turn your faith toward God. He said, I am the God that healeth thee. And He said, He is the great physician. Do we believe this or don't we? We really need to take a long look at this. Now, I understand that there are people that are in so much great pain, they have to take morphine. But I pray that when they do, for whatever reason, be a something out of whack, maybe walking down the street, getting hit by a car, and the pain is incredible when they wake up and they need a shot of morphine, or they're passing into the next life, which is another deception in itself, to just give them morphine so they could have this euphoric feeling going in from one place to another. That isn't the way God created it to be. And we have to be wise in the things we do. And so we have to learn how to pull down these strongholds of false imaginations around and about us. And those false imaginations that we received growing up, many through our parents, others through ourselves. And we accomplish this by coming against the lie with boldness. We find out, first of all, what the truth is. And the Word of God tells us what all truth is. We can read the Word, and if we are reading it by the move of the Holy Spirit within us, we are going to be alerted to the truth of the Word of God. We're not going to receive it just as intellectual concepts and ideas and theories, but we're going to learn it in truth, in the power of life itself. For instance, let me give you one. If a captive is set free from demonic influence and he takes a drink of wine at Holy Communion, will it hurt him? Of course not. He is free. The spirit of alcoholic addiction and the demonic presence would no longer be in him to cause him to be addictive again. You wonder, well, what causes people to be addictive? Well, is it the drugs within them? Is it the alcohol within them? What does happen to a man's soul when these things take place? When the spirit opens up and receives, your spirit, speaking of, receives the addiction, there is a demonic presence behind that. It has come with a lie that you can bear and you can deal with things if you just have another drink go through. That's not the answer. That's where the bondage comes in. The answer is receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who paid the price for every addiction, every sin, every false imagination, every bondage, every stronghold that the demonic presence and the demonic spirits can leash out to human beings. So if you do it in a way and understanding that you no longer have to be an alcoholic, then therefore you are set free. Let me give you a scripture, John 8:36. It's a beautiful scripture worth repeating to yourself, because you are the one we are speaking of today, or anyone that is close to you anyone that you time again that they may be set free. Read John 8:36, for whom Christ sets free is free indeed. Or does it say who Christ sets free still has to battle? Not free yet. No. It's not so, because the power of Jesus Christ is greater than any addiction you may have. For whom Christ sets free is free indeed. Look in Galatians 5:1 and write these scriptures down if you would. God says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So, open the door to that slavery. I didn't say to a drink of wine. I said to the slavery that caused you to drink wine to become your fork. If you open the door to that slavery mentality again, you're going to be in trouble. And what is that slavery mentality? When you believe that others can control your life because the Holy Spirit has not yet become the control of your life. So you believe, you have false imagination
that this one
or that
has done something to you, or your experience is growing up, has done something to you, good, perhaps guilt or shame, also, or someone has mistreated you or controlled you, you believe, within your life in a very severe manner, severe way where it was hurtful. Well, if you believe you can be controlled by that individual again, that becomes the yoke of slavery. And what will happen is your thought desire will come back, the addiction will come back because you believe that, not just because you drank some wine. Though there is, I agree, there is yet some understanding within the depths of you that says, you know, if I take this, I'm going to want it again. But here's the point. If you are free and you take a glass of wine with your meal, as Jesus did, and many of you probably will say, well, that was fruit juice, grape juice. No. And I can prove that it was actual wine. If you take it, but you're mentally free because Christ has set you free of guilt, shame, and fear, you are ready. You are ready to be a free individual to handle your life rightfully and purposely. So let's consider these things in a different life than we had before. However, as in the example above, if the person continues to call himself a recovering alcoholic, and maintains the word alcoholic in his vocabulary, he would be saying that God is a liar. You see, life and death is in the tongue. We speak life over us, or we speak death over us. And if we have to continue to speak that we are recovering alcoholics, then we haven't been freed of alcohol, and there will be no deliverance. We'll see how this would be a denial of the power of God to deliver him from the slavery, or you or me, from the slavery of alcoholism or any other stronghold. What we say, we get. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So if we say, I have been set free, I no longer am a slave to any false imagination. I am set free to think pure and perfect thoughts. I am a forgiven person. I am not ashamed. And on top of that, no one has control over me except the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, who would want to guide and direct us and control our emotions, that we may have emotions that are free and perfectly clean. Without deception. Oh, my goodness, I'm telling you, body of Christ, we have to learn. In other words, it would appear that the power of darkness if we don't do it in the manner in which I'm trying to describe, is greater than God. And it, power of darkness is not greater than God. God is the most glorious, most great, most wonderful. And God wants us to have our emotions blessed, stable, and not fearful. Again, let me repeat. If we do not understand these things and we even go to an AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, and continue to claim that we are alcoholics, that's what we will be, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. What we say, we get. So let's look at this in a different way than we have in the past, because we have been educated by the world, not by the word of God, which is so glorious, so perfect, so wonderful. And if we don't do what I'm mentioning right now, the stronghold would remain. And we, again, would be in bondage to sin and death. And, of course, the enemy would use that for his benefit. And we know that when we speak those things that are as though they are not, we have claimed victory. Speak those things that are, speak those things that are not as though they were. So we know that it is our tongue. If we speak that God has blessed me and I have been delivered by the power of his love, it is becoming a reality then within our life. And if we don't, then we are being bought with a lie again. But many people today in their practices and deeds remain captive to Satan because of the darkness allowed in our churches to a lack of knowledge. And didn't he say, my people perish from a lack of knowledge? And that's exactly what has been said time and time again by the Lord God Almighty in his word. He's talking about his people. So let's refer to the above example again and illustrate the difference between the works of man and the good news of God. And, you know, we cannot deny that a person who drinks excessively and abuses himself or herself and others is better off learning how to break his addiction through whatever help man can provide. I agree with that. However, compromising with Satan is not the way of God, nor is it in keeping with his instructions to us, God's instructions to us. We must always maintain the high road and know that there is no need to compromise, because we know that God is more than able to accomplish what he has promised. And I can't say this enough about God's accomplishment in our life, the only true accomplishment there is to really bring us to a place of freedom. When we, and I'm talking about those who have come to Christ, as the body of Christ, accommodate compromise, regardless of its nature, we place ourselves in danger of the destruction of Satan. And we have moved from the promises of God to the deceptions of Satan. And furthermore, the above example that I was telling you about, reading from my book, and that's where it's been. I have been trying to bring this knowledge for a while, because it has been upheld as an answer for alcoholics, and by that I mean Alcoholics Anonymous, because it has been upheld as an answer for alcoholics by so many calling themselves believers, when all along we need to understand it is another trap of our common enemy. I've seen many return, sadly enough, after going to AA. But there is a way to truly be set free. And a little further regarding the Holy Spirit, my husband brought it up, Pastor Vincent Xavier, and I want to speak on what he wrote. He said this: it is important that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our understanding, and to capture the breath of what is being said here. Your whole spirit, soul, and body are going to respond to what the Lord is doing in you. He is bringing forth a brand new creation in you, and that new creation is about to come forth with all the attributes and characteristics of the firstborn son, Jesus Christ. As Jesus is, so are we in the world. What was he? He was the express image of the Father. What are we? We are the ones conformed into his exact likeness. What is the nature of the Father? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. What is the nature of the firstborn son? Jesus Christ, the image of the Father. What is the name of the many sons being brought to glory in the church? The exact same image of the Father and the Son. This and that nature cannot be other than what it is. The divine nature is established in you. The divine nature is established in you. The outward expression that all will see, which actually comes from within the ones who have allowed the Spirit to perform this work, is the outraying and displaying of Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that expression? Sing, shout, be glad, rejoice with all your heart. That is the expression. So, to consider the following. There is spirit, soul, and body. You are a trinity. You can sing, rejoice, and shout. That is a trinity. You have 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. That's a trinity. Love, hope, faith, that's a trinity. Tabernacles, Pentecost, Passover, that's a trinity. Holy of Holies, holy place, outer court, that's a trinity. Worshippers, Jews, Gentile, that's a trinity. Above, we have a chorus of events that are taking place within the believer at different levels and stages. And the body realm is the outer court ministry that is taking place around the world to those who are Jews and Gentiles and are in need of salvation. This ministry brings the person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and through confession of the mouth and believing of the heart, clears their conscience from all sin, relieving that person from guilt, shame, and condemnation, which are the effects of sin. And this is what we would call the first stage of coming to Christ. Many, though, have not been able to be shaken from guilt, shame, and condemnation, and that is where deliverance comes in. Am I getting you to understand the way the enemy has worked against the body of Christ? It's time we understand spiritual warfare as we never had before. The deception of Satan manifested in a score of other programs within our churches today could be mentioned. This is just another stronghold. They cover everything from psychology to positive thinking, but to name them all and explain the twisted road they travel would take another 7 chapters. However, I'm going to wrap up this point with a brief statement that other programs are further illustrations of the subtle way in which the devil deceives us into believing something less than the truth of God. The truth of God is so precise and so clear. Consequently, we have difficulty, if we don't have the truth, accepting God's promises and his power to accomplish his word. Again, that's why I wrote the book, so we could accomplish his word in our life. It's just not telling you what the word says. It's trying to teach you what to do about the word that you've learned. That's what I am trying so desperately to come across with, and I hope that you pray for me that I'll continue to be able to do so, and that would be delightful. Now let us continue to take a look at the demonic forces around us.